Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. The Tulsa Modern Movement Dance Company, or TUM for short, is a relatively new company in Tulsa's growing contemporary dance scene. But already, the company has done four site-specific performances, including Either Suchness, which was set along the Arkansas River, three engagements at Tulsa Ballet's Studio K, a commissioned children's dance theater piece for the Harwelden Institute that's currently touring area schools, and two commissioned works for the Crystal Bridges Museum of American Art in Arkansas. Today we visit with TUM founder and executive director, Ari Christopher, about the beginnings of the company, as well as their dreams for the future, which include becoming a resident modern dance company for Tulsa. Now, their next scheduled performances will be on Mother's Day, when they open for the final performance of Tulsa Ballet's Creation in Studio K. But tomorrow evening, they'll be building for the future with their very first fundraiser, The Kicker, which will feature a performance by the company as well as food and drink. That all gets underway tomorrow evening at 7:30 at the Hardesty Arts Center in the Brady District. Ari Christopher is my guest today on Studio Tulsa. Ari Christopher, welcome to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks, Rich, for having me.
The TUM, or Tulsa Modern Movement, will be hosting its first fundraiser this weekend, but it's also at a time when you guys are doing a lot of work, going to be once again participating in Studio K. Give us a sense of how TUM started. How did TUM get going?
TUM started as a series of weekly playdates in the studio, actually. It started very organically, where I stopped dancing for 10 years, and I got re-inspired, actually, by Living Arts New Genre Festival. So shout out to Living Arts. Thank you. And re-entered the studio to start experimenting with movement and find out what would happen.
Now, give us a sense of your background. Were you always a contemporary dancer? Or
I started with a very wide variety of fine arts education. So I was at the bar twice a week doing ballet. I took some modern, and I painted, played the violin, played the jazz violin, acted, did musical theater, and it was in high school that I started to specialize in modern dance specifically. I went to school in Albany, New York, and there are two modern dance companies there, and I got to travel to New York City and see modern dance and participate in modern dance there as well.
And that must have been a real eye-opening experience.
It was. I had seen some modern dance here living in Tulsa, but, you know, the scene in New York is just so varied. And there's so many access points for people to get engaged with modern dance, and it's really a good experience.
So you took about, what, 10 years off?
I did, yeah. So I went to college for modern dance, and I studied a BFA program in modern dance and choreography at Marymount Manhattan College, and I studied at the Graham Studio in New York.
Yeah, Martha Graham.
And took every master class I could get a hold of and really focused solely on that, and then stopped dancing and got the opportunity to be in the audience again, which was really a magical thing.
And you're also doing it at a time where, as you know, growing up in Tulsa, modern dance was, it was few and far between, and usually when something came here, it was pretty sparsely attended. And now, just in the last 4 or 5 years, well, really with the ballet as well as Corgus bringing in a lot of great contemporary dance companies, this audience is really growing.
Yeah, we have a lot of gratitude for what Marcello and the Tulsa Ballet Board started doing in the late 90s, bringing in the Green Table and progressively more contemporary work.
And sort of that those ballets that blur the line between ballet and contemporary dance.
Exactly. Yeah, contemporary ballet and contemporary modern are becoming more similar aesthetically, and I think it's a good thing. It's engaging audiences. Modern dance is kind of over itself about its seriousness and the kind of...
Well, you have to admit, at some point, though, modern dance, there was a bit of, I don't want to say, maybe pretension.
Right. We don't take ourselves quite as seriously anymore, which I think is important. And I think ballet as well is kind of over the ethereal, we must look like we're floating all the time. Mm-hmm. For a while, there was a real dichotomy between modern dance and ballet, trying to distinguish themselves on two different sides of the spectrum aesthetically. And as they come closer to the middle, I think we've really started to engage audiences in what matters. We go see dance to be inspired and uplifted. Most of us
yeah.
go view art of any kind for the aesthetic benefits that it gives us emotionally and spiritually.
Yeah. So getting back to the story, you took 10 years off, and so you went into the studio, and I guess you called them play dates.
Right. They were not too serious.
Yeah.
You know, we got together and improvised and explored and said what if and played with choreographic elements that I had learned academically in my BFA program, but not to have to make anything with no deadlines. And
so really, what did you find? What did you find when you started doing that?
I found that I love to dance, and I found that there's a kind of curiousness that drives my want to make dance and my want to watch dance and engage with performance art.
So at what point did the play dates start to morph into the beginnings of a company?
Well, you know, the real beginning was a few months after that. I walked down on the, I think it was probably about a year after that, actually. I walked down at the 21st Street, Arkansas River Bank, where the recently built Blue Rose restaurant is now. And it was the day after the big tsunami in Japan. I think that was March 2011, There might have been two tsunamis. And just images flooded over me about natural disaster. You know, I lived in New York City when September 11th happened, And that's a man-made disaster, but it was coming up on the 10-year anniversary of September 11th, and memories of what it was like to be in a big disaster like that just came over me, and I saw a whole piece. And I talked to the ladies that I've been dancing with and said, I want to unveil this company now that we've been talking about for a year, and I want to do it in a way that is site-specific and open to the public right here on the Arkansas River, and explore these themes about the permanence and the impermanence of human life and memory.
And so that became the first piece. It was set on the Arkansas River. Tell us a little bit about that. That piece was called Suchness.
Yeah. So Suchness was a way to, for me personally, to re-experience what I had gone through living in New York during September 11th. But it was also a way that we could all come together on a current topic and have some peace to contribute. You know, we're a collaborative company, and all the dancers come to rehearsal with their whole selves engaged. So it was something that we could all engage with.
So why was the Arkansas River so site important for a piece about memories of 9/11 and disaster? I mean, I know the river can look kind of bad sometimes.
You know, it was the striking colors and shadows and the glistening sand of the sunset.
So it was really a beautiful background.
It was really a beautiful background. And it's also a natural background that we all know. It's also a background that pretty much everyone in Tulsa has been to at some point, and it's familiar.
So how did you get the word out about once you started to do this show? Because, I mean, now we're starting to hear a lot about site-specific, you know, there was the eMERGE down in the tunnels, and there's been pieces up in the Brady District sort of making modern Hollywood squares with dance. But that's sort of a pretty new phenomenon for this part of the country. How did you get the word out about
it? First of all, we chose to do a hybrid audience approach. So people could purchase tickets and sit on the Blue Rose patios, the two-tier patio, and so they could be near restrooms and drinks and food for that side of the audience.
But you also want to passerbys, what have I walked into?
And most of the audience just walked up and sat on the grass. And of course, like any new company starting out, it's our friends and the people we work with that came to see the show, and we had an article or two, and we had a press release, and thank you. NPR, you ran a PSA for us, and we had just got the word out through Facebook and Urban Tulsa? And just every calendar listing we could find.
And what was the reaction to the piece?
People told me that they would see that place differently.
And that's a cool thing to hear.
Yeah, people told me that they were going to watch Tom. They were going to watch us grill.
Uh-huh.
That we had done something really special.
And now one of the things that you do is almost specialize in site-specific. I mean, you do theater pieces too, but you specialize in doing site-specific pieces. You've done a couple for Crystal Bridges over in Bentonville.
Mm-hmm.
One was for, sounds like it was some sort of gala event, and you were basically doing a dance piece as people walked into the place where they're having the event. What was that?
That was my favorite. One of my favorites. This was, that piece that you're describing was called Upon First Entering. And we had five dancers stretched across a very long hallway, probably 24, 36, 40 feet. I don't even remember. And about 6 feet apart from each other, moving continuously for 45 minutes to a score by Max Richter of the Four Seasons, recomposed by Max Richter.
Mm-hmm.
And there were seven gestures in the piece, and that's it. That's what it was built on. And then it was moving between the seven gestures in different ways and pausing and stopping in different ways so that it created like a flip book if you walk past it,
mm-hmm.
you know,
right.
The progression. Or people could stand and watch the progression, and a lot of people did. A lot of people stood there for a while, and we had the event coordinator going, you know, it's bottlenecking. Can you keep moving through?
Well, that's great. You've done a since another installation.
Yeah,
for them.
They had me back to do a dance film for the 100-year anniversary of Rite of Spring.
Mm.
And we did excerpts of the music of Rite of Spring in about seven different locations in the museum. The choreography, of course, was new that I made and kind of co-directed by Sarah Segerlin, the videographer and the woman there that was thinking the piece over carefully.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And made a dance film of about 4 minutes for their evening event on celebrating the birth of modernism.
Oh, cool. So in the galleries, what were you juxtaposed with particular paintings?
No, it was really, we chose architectural elements.
Oh, yeah, because the if people haven't seen Crystal Bridges, it's a magnificent building. The building is a piece of art as well as the fantastic art inside of it. And for people who haven't seen it, it's basically built into a ravine, so it's very naturalistic. But the main design element is, if you could think of a canoe turned over on its back, except where you're seeing the ribs on the outside, that's these two vessels that basically cross a ravine and a stream, a created stream that they have there. And it is really striking, and there's all sorts of architectural details that are really very cool. And it's a mix of metal and wood that they're allowing to weather naturally, which
That's
is
right.
really, really kind of a cool substance.
And you're reminding me, there were two specific pieces of art that I danced around. At the beginning of the video, there's a metal tree that shines bright silver, even at night. It picks up every little bit of light.
And it's basically like a sycamore, but it's made out of shining stainless steel or aluminum, so it's like totally mirror reflective.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
And then there's a moving sculpture that we shot from above that I danced around in a circle.
Oh yeah, that's a George Ricci. Ricci,
thank
yes,
you.
Yeah, a moving sculpture, yeah, and it's like a weather vane gone crazy.
Yeah. And the ribs that you mentioned, the building has structures evocative of the human body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. As much as a canoe turned upside down, it could be a rib cage.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that sounds like it was a really cool thing.
It was so much fun.
Yeah. My guest today is Ari Christopher, the founder and executive director of TUM, Tulsa Modern Movement. They'll be hosting their first fundraiser. It's called Kicker this Saturday night with a performance, food, and wine at the Heart of the Arts Center. And you'll be doing a performance as part of this fundraiser. Is that right?
Yes, of course.
Yeah. Have you created pieces for it? It sounds like that's sort of what your specialty is, like, you know.
Yes, this time.
Party dance.
This time, yeah. This time our site-specific work is selected pieces of the season-length work that I'm working on for the proscenium stage at Tulsa Ballet Studio K that we'll do in June, called Self-Storage. And that piece is focusing on memory and identity and how memory shapes identity and how we deal with our memories, either to ignore them or to focus on them. And it'll be with the 5-woman cast of the full company.
No, they're just 5 women?
Just 5.
No men in the company at all?
Not right now.
So is that a plan to add men at some point? Or
I'd like to. Uh-huh. Yes, absolutely.
Is there limitations in having an all-women company, or is that...
There are limitations in having an all-women
company. We can't do lifts.
We do lifts anyway.
Oh. Well, good.
We do. Little different. You know, we call it weight sharing rather than lifts. They're certainly not ballistic, you know, big, huge lifts like you'd see on a fabulous ballet company. But we do weight sharing, and, you know, we're an all-woman company right now because those are the people that have the training and have the way of approaching dance that works with our philosophy. And we would like to have an audition and start to draw talent to Tulsa. And I think that's on its way.
Now you're the founder and executive director, and I guess it sounds like you do choreography as well. You also have an artistic director. Now who's the artistic director?
Alicia Chesser is Tom's artistic director. She's been there from the very beginning. She is trained by Moslyn Larkin from a very young age and danced from the age of 15 as an apprentice with Tulsa Ballet. And she moved to New York City and lived there for at least 5 years, writing for the Village Voice and national publications on dance, and currently writes for Tulsa Dances, her blog. It's the only place in Tulsa to read solely about dance and a wide variety in both the subject matter and the format.
It sounds like she wanted to get back to dance just the same way you did.
That's right. Yeah. And we work very closely in the studio with each other. So even if I'm choreographing, her critical thinking questions and investigation helps shape the piece, as well as the other dancers as well. So we work very collaboratively.
Yeah. Now, the next thing you have coming up is just in a few weeks, you'll be doing one of the opening acts for Creations in Studio K. I think you're May 11th, is that right?
That's right. Mother's Day will open for Creations in Studio K.
Now, what are you going to do for that?
This is our third year of opening for Creations, and there again, we will choose selections of our season-length work. I think you mentioned before that, you know, being a company of our size has limitations.
Right.
So we have enough studio time and woman power to create so much work. So we will usually stay within the same vein throughout a season so that the subject matter is rich and well investigated.
Now, fill me in on how your company works, because some companies, as they develop a work like through the season, there's a degree of improvisation that sort of changes the work over time. Is this more of a set choreography for your company, or is there an amount of improvisation, and will the work morph through the season?
The work morphs through the season.
Uh-huh.
By the time we put it on stage,
it's set.
It's fairly well set. And this year we're doing, and that's, you know, in the past. This year we're doing one experiment. The piece on memory, there are 4 dancers that are extremely well set, micromanaged to the half count on what they're doing. And my part is actually to remember what they're doing and improvise in a way decided in the moment that interacts with them in certain ways. So I'm constantly using my memory of where they are to engage with them on the stage. So in that case, it's improvisational. And then, you know, when we're invited to come out and do appearances, like at a musicale or something like that, we may bring with us just 1 or 2 dancers that are very comfortable improvising and do an appearance improvisationally.
do dancers fall into two camps on that, as far as you either like to improvise or you don't, or what?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Right now we have dancers from both camps, I think. I think they all like it. I think some of them are learning to get more comfortable in that.
Well, I guess I suppose the fear would be doing something that would look awkward or, you know, just not work.
Yeah, and that makes me remember, I used to play jazz violin, and...
the worst thing you could do is be out of sync with everybody else.
Yeah, I don't remember if it was Sonny Gray or Earl Clark, but they were both my teachers, and one of them said, you know, there's really no wrong note in jazz.
There's a wrong time.
There's a wrong time. And I use that in dance as well. You know, I can't do anything wrong. There's a question of what comes right after and how long it takes and what is that moment of suspension in that time when you're doing that thing.
Yeah.
I don't even mind falling, you know, because it means you push something far enough to take a risk. And that's the natural and authentic thing that comes out of that risk. But modern dance training teaches me how to fall, so I'm okay.
My guest today is Ari Christopher, the founder and executive director of TUM, Tulsa Modern Movement. They'll be hosting their first fundraiser, Kicker. And at this, when you said Kicker and you said you studied at the Martha Graham Studio, it made me think of the very famous picture and Warhol painting later of Kicker, of Martha Graham throwing her leg up in the air.
That's
right. Was that what that was based on?
Oh, gosh. I wish I had thought of something that poetic.
Oh, wow.
I mean, maybe on some level, you know, the Graham technique was probably and is still the most significant influence on the way that I approach and watch dance. So I'm sure maybe on some level.
There we go. Well, they'll have a fundraiser this weekend at the Hardesty Arts Center, and they'll also be doing a performance. They'll also be doing the opening act for Creations for Studio K on May 11th. Now, are you doing a summer stage thing in the summer, or what's the summer program you're going to be doing?
Our culminating event in June that I've mentioned before, mm-hmm. where we show our season-length work, is a self-produced piece. It's a self-produced evening, actually, at Studio K of Tulsa Ballet. And we'll put on three pieces, new works by Alicia Chesler and myself. We'll do Self-Storage, which I talked about before, about memory and identity. And two works by Alicia Chesser, Unbound and Envelope.
And what's the background on these two pieces?
Unbound is a piece for three dancers, two to three dancers. And it's a collaboration with Nathan Harmon on video, doing a live stream of video of the dancers, capturing close-ups and a different perspective that you can't see from the audience. So adding another dimension to that as well that's projected live.
So will you have cameramen on stage with you? That would be interesting to dance with.
He's part of the performance.
Oh, wow.
And the relationship of the dancers and him as the capturer and the framer is an evocative aspect.
Now, how do you rehearse something like that? You just do it over and over, and sort of he gets a sense of the piece, and sort of there are probably going to be some beats that you focus on, and
he comes to a lot of the rehearsals.
Uh-huh. So he's watching constantly, but he's going to be in the moment when he's actually doing the piece.
So here we have an improvised element. Yes,
there you go. Uh-huh. And the leather piece.
And I wanted to also mention that it comes out of a call for submissions by Karen Nafee Harmon. International composers sent in, I think it's five brand new pieces that provide the sound score, and it'll be performed by live musicians on stage as well.
Oh, that's great.
That's Unbound. And Envelope is a solo, also about identity.
All right. Well, yeah. It sounds like it's going to be a great program this summer. And one of the things I noticed that you're doing, your group has been doing, you've been doing a lot of Harwelden Institute things this past year. What have you been, and this is a program in the schools where you go, a lot of elementary schools. I did this with a brass quintet years ago, and you do an awful lot of school programs. What are you trying to show kids about modern dance?
Oh, I love our show. I'm so glad you asked about that. We have a show called Afternoons with Emery, and it's basically a four-scene dance theater piece using dance almost exclusively to tell the story. And it's four different things that this young child, Emery, it's four different everyday activities that a young child would do. So playing outside, helping dad fix the car or mom fix the car, taking a bath and having a bedtime story. But in each scene, you know, it's a 25-minute piece. In each scene, Emery's imagination takes over and the flowers come to life and the machine comes to life and dad falls into the car and gets spit out through the tailpipe. And it's an imaginative romping ground that the whole idea is to show kids that you can make your own stuff, you can put on your own production, and you can just dive into your imagination. And they eat it up. They love it.
I was going to say, you know, a lot of adults don't get contemporary dance. I says, ironically, probably kids do better.
And the teachers love it, too. Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. The questions they ask are just incredible. And we put a lot of things in the play, in the dance, that can be and are purposefully chosen to be interpreted in different ways. To show the students and the teachers that dance promotes multiple perspectives. So when Emery confronts the Jabberwocky, Emery is holding a yellow kitchen spoon. Uh-huh. Not a sword, not a fake sword, not a knife, not a stick, a yellow kitchen spoon. So what is that? We ask the kids, is it a dream?
Right.
Is it she's playing pretend? You know, and they say, oh, well, she's playing pretend and mom won't let her play with knives. Well, okay, you know, and so we've gotten like three or four different answers about why we chose that. And we also have Emery played by a girl in one scene and a man in another scene and a puppet in another scene so that the boys can identify with Emery as well.
Well, that's good. You know, it's funny. It's funny that, you know, in the old days, you go outside and play with a stick.
Right.
And nobody knows that anymore.
Yeah, we've got PS Vitas and iPads.
So it's good. The kids are, that's good. At least they know what you're doing. They're playing pretend. That's good. Well, that sounds like a really good program. And how many schools have you done this year?
I think it'll be, by the end of the year, it'll be 19 schools.
Wow, that's great.
3,000 kids.
That's great.
And through that program, OSU program, and Barthelmess Conservatory program, I've taught over 700 kids already this school year.
And that's a big part of what Tom is doing too.
It is. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we wish you success with the fundraiser and the upcoming performances. The next public performance will be Mother's Day, May 11th, as they open for Creations in Studio K with Tulsa Ballet, a Tulsa Modern Movement. Ari, thanks very much for joining
us. Thank you so much.
Ari Christopher of Tulsa Modern Movement, or TUM, speaking with us here on Studio Tulsa. TUM will be performing before the final performance of Tulsa Ballet's Creations at Studio K on Mother's Day, May 11th. Then they'll be featuring their own performances at Studio K June 7th and 8th. Their fundraiser, The Kicker, takes place tomorrow evening at the Hardesty Arts Center, getting underway at 7:30. For more information on that, visit tummdance.org or call toll-free 877-460-0422. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.